Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Bim, 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 bim. What's your favourite ringtone that you've ever had?
Ringtone? Are we going ringtones for theme songs? No.
Yeah.
I don't know what my favourite ringtone is. I just have the generic thing.
Is it just brr,
brr? No, no, it was just a ringtone.
What about? Do you like that?
That's amazing.
I can do it again. Do you like that?
That's amazing.
So what is your favourite ringtone?
I don't know, Mitch. I don't even remember my. I remember when it.
Do you remember your ringtone right now?
No.
You don't know what ringtone you got.
I couldn't do. Like, really? No. I'll hear it when I hear it, and I don't need to pay attention to things like that. Huh. You're just weird. Is that your song? Is that the interpretation of your song today?
Yeah.
Can we sing sing something else? I like putting you on the spot because now he's chosen to do these songs. I'm thinking I'm going
to. I don't know what else to sing. I really like the idea of ringtones today.
So what ringtone are you going to do?
I've just done two.
Do you remember what was it? The
ning 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 ning. You know the story about that?
Yeah, I got
a story
about that. I know the story.
So a buddy of mine, his buddy actually set up that ringtone, and he's a Russian guy. He'd been all over the newspapers here, and what they did was they set up the ringtone, and part of them setting it up.
Sorry.
They made it so that when you set up the ringtone, and you couldn't unsubscribe from it, so every month it took $5 out of your bank account. And of course, there were hundreds of millions of people bought the actual ringtone. And then so it became fraudulent, and the FBI are literally deporting this guy to the US right now because of this fraudulent behavior and activity. Yes, but I think the fraud is about 10 million, but like last year alone, he made about 270 million, made $250 million, this guy.
There you go.
You know, but he's sitting in the can right now waiting to go over to America to face the FBI. Yes, so if you have that ringtone and you haven't been able to get it off your phone.
That's why.
Ding, 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 ding. Wasn't it the motorbike frog? Is that what it was?
Something like that.
Anyway.
I just totally knocked the microphone there, so everyone would have got a big bang in their ears, but that's okay.
Yeah.
What are we talking about today, darling?
I don't mind. We wanted to talk a little bit about kids. You like to talk about kids.
I love talking about
raising the nippers. And, you know, like every now and then I'll get a random phone call from somebody saying, oh my God, you know, we're just about to have the baby and I don't know whether to vaccinate and should I vaccinate and shouldn't I vaccinate? What do you think, Mitch? Did you vaccinate? And, you know, firstly, what we do with our kids is private to us. And because it's their lives.
Well, everyone's got to make their decisions.
Yep.
And I have my own views on stuff like that. I didn't think we were going down this route, but this is like totally random. But what I will say is, and the answer I'll give is educate yourself.
Yeah, be informed.
Be very, 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 very informed.
And there's lots of information out there. You know, I've seen both sides. I've seen it from people who have vaccinated and I've seen some of the outcomes that have happened there that are not nice.
We wrote an actual blog post on this quite a while ago.
Right.
And our key point on that, so let's leave it at that for the moment, but our key point at that was that whether you vaccinate your children, whether you don't, you love your kids. The reason you do it is because you love your children.
Yeah.
So my recommendation is just be as informed as you can possibly be before you make any decisions. Anyway, so what else are we going to talk about, kids, then?
We
do have a lot of people asking us, like, our opinions. That's where that came from, right?
Yeah.
Our opinions of
on children.
What do we do and how do we do it?
Do we vaccinate, don't we vaccinate?
Do we vaccinate, don't we vaccinate? All that jazz, yeah.
Why do you so want to stay away from that?
I want to stay away from
it. You so backed out of it. It's so obvious on this podcast that you just took your car in reverse and you fucking drove up that
No problem going down that pathway, but I didn't think that's the path we were going to go down, so I thought I would just change direction.
Right.
Let go, carry on if you want
to. No, it's all right. We can move on.
Absolutely.
So we wanted to talk about. So let's talk about something different. Then, what about medication with the kids? What about ADD?
Like
what about
medicating kids and stuff?
How do you handle that sort of stuff? Did you know that ADD, right? And Dex, and you know Dex and amphetamine. So I had a friend of ours whose kid was diagnosed with attention deficit disorder, and then the medical practitioner. subscribed the maximum limit.
You mean prescribed?
Yeah, the maximum amount of Dex that the kid could have, and the kid eventually became an addict, and then moved on from that addiction onto heroin, and eventually, her kidneys failed, and she died, I think that, you know, the history of where dexamphetamines came from is quite interesting, because it started off that in World War II, they would basically give the pilots were given amphetamines to keep them awake when they were flying, and then when they came back, they were, you know, they still used them. The pilots were still getting them prescribed. And continuing to use them, and then that's how it started to spread. And then what happened in the US is that the bikie gangs got hold of it, and then they started making amphetamines, and, you know, then from there it became a drug of choice there, mm-hmm. alongside heroin and cocaine and all those other things. And then so when that sort of thing was happening, and money was being spent there, you know, Big Pharma looks at this stuff and goes, well, you know, we've got to be able to cash in some way on this sort of stuff. And isn't it funny now how, you know, what's prescribed for a child with ADD is an amphetamine. You know, it's literally an amphetamine. Mm-hmm. It's an illegal drug that pharmaceutical companies have legalized and said, hey, give this to your kids and it's going to calm them down. You know, and it's going to make them, you know, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be able to, you know, work in society or be able to function in society correctly.
I think that as a teacher, my biggest hesitation with all of that is labelling.
Mm.
Labelling. We had someone in one of our recent seminars who was struggling with her child, and the first thing I said to her, even prior to her coming in, was just whatever you do, be mindful and be wary of labelling. That doesn't mean that your kid isn't experiencing symptoms and isn't behaving in certain ways, but be mindful of labelling, because as soon as you label, you put them in a box. You put them in a box, you standardize them. You make them just like everything else, and that becomes, to me, that becomes one of the first concerns that I have.
Well, because
children are not meant to sit like you know. I used to write reports. You know, one of the things I'm so grateful of is not having to write reports anymore. We used to write reports, and, you know, the kids' behavior in the classroom and stuff like that. And, you know, a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, they're not meant to sit still for like so long in a day. And we're reporting on their ability to, you know, to do just that. And I'm like, that just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, just doesn't make sense to me. So when we're prescribing stuff because the kids are experiencing what it is to be a kid, what actually we're prescribing is because the adult doesn't feel comfortable in how to manage the child.
That's right.
So we're prescribing medication to our children because the adult is not comfortable with how to manage
the child. And the adult is not comfortable with how to manage the tribe, sometimes because they come from a micro family. You know, people who came from much larger families saw all these roles play out. I know when my father was growing up and when I was growing up as a kid, there was no such thing as ADD. ADD, as I've said numerous times, was sorted out in my household with a size 9 in your arse. You pulled your head in as if that's what you needed to do, or it was the threat of getting a size 9 in your arse. But
which is not what we're recommending.
No, of course,
we're
of course
just
not,
talking that you know, and there, and sorry,
but Mitch, but just let me say something. You know, we didn't have that back then. There was no such thing as ADD. So how come it just suddenly pops up?
Where does it come
from? And it comes from, I think it comes from the fact that we've gone from having big, large families to micro families, you know, to parents not knowing, micro families, from a child coming from a micro family into a micro family into a micro family. And then by the time they get to the third generation of that, they have no understanding really of how to actually manage the kids. And then what happens is you have pharmaceutical companies come through the schooling system and say, you know what, we're going to run this thing. We'll call this, I think they call it the scale. We're going to see if the kid fits on this. Is it the scale?
No, you're talking about the autism spectrum.
The spectrum. I want to see if my kid is on the spectrum. So what they did, it. They tried to do it with Lexi. One of the teachers tried to do it with Lexi. Listen, I think Lexi might be on the spectrum. So I marched down there, let me tell you, on Monday morning. Now, you know Lexi. Lexi is highly smart, spirited kid. Yeah, I remember her first day at school. Literally, she walks into the classroom and they go through the first kid, and the first kid goes, "What's your name? My name is Johnny. What's your name? My name is Sally. What's your name? My name is Sophie. What's your name? My name is Lexi." And she threw her arms out like this, this big, vibrant kid. My heart just opened. I thought, wow, because that's Lexi just being a fucking child, you know. And so when the teacher doesn't know, they come from a microfamily, they don't know how to handle the classroom, and some of the kids are disruptive, they equate disruptive to they must be on the chart, you know. And it's like, that's just bullshit. It's just, it's absolute bullshit. It's an inability for the teacher. So I went down and I said, if you ever mention that again, if you ever even bring it up, honestly, I won't go after the school. I'll go after you personally. Never, ever, ever say that to my kid again. I did my nut. They shat themselves. They were like, Jesus, he's a lunatic.
I think that what happens is that, like, I know we're oversimplifying it because there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of context. There's other stuff that people are experiencing and stuff, but because we haven't got time in a small amount of time that we've got, we're simplifying the concept, right? But I feel like the concept is the same ultimately. What happens is, like, when in my experience as a school teacher, there were so many teachers that were from that old school that kids should be seen and not heard. Yep. It's supposed to just be a certain way.
Yep.
The kids were with me the way they were with other teachers. And because we both had different styles, they had trouble with the kids and I never did. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't have trouble with everyone, because obviously personalities clash. But when in those moments I recognised that it was me that was the concern, or my inability to be able to connect and communicate with the child that was the issue, as opposed to the child.
Mm.
Does that make sense? Mm. And so many people don't understand that. It is easier for people to look at a kid who's playing up and say, "This, I'm not able to handle this, help me handle this." And that's why a big part of why we medicate our children. Mm. The other thing is that, you know, you're talking about the family size, and I can see that. We've not really discussed that before, but I can definitely see that. Another big, big contributing factor is diet.
Food.
What children are fed at the moment.
If you have an 18-month-old, now we were really careful with what we fed Lexi. If you have an 18-month-old and you want to see the effects that food has on an 18-month-old, just give them a yogurt. Just give them a yogurt. Your standard yogurt that you'll see in the
shop.
Which
has got like a frickload of sugar.
Just give them a yogurt and then sit back and watch what happens. So my parents, when they were around my kids, wanted to buy the kids ice cream all the time. And I found that every time they'd buy the kids an ice cream, within 10 minutes the kids were being naughty and they were playing up and rowdy and they were just misbehaving.
Not themselves.
They weren't themselves. And I would pull my dad aside and I'm like, I understand that you think you're doing the right thing by giving the kid an ice cream because you want them to love you and remember you as their granddad. But you have to understand that immediately afterwards they're getting into trouble. So the ice cream equates to trouble. But they don't see that, Dad. All they see is the taste. You know, all they get is that immediate hit because their little minds can't see what the ramifications are of the sugars. Mm-hmm. But just give your 18-month-old an ice cream, or give your aunt, watch what happens. And then you will see that the effects that the foods are actually having on the kids is phenomenal. Yeah, it's extraordinary.
It's quite extraordinary just to watch the shift in a child when you're feeding them whole foods and that doesn't mean they can't have anything, but it really, some people really feel like they're having soft drinks, they're having sweets all the time, and they're having processed foods all the time. And when that's happening, their little bodies aren't able, they're not meant for that. And their brains aren't able to cope with the overload. So it's like giving them a hit of cocaine.
Mm.
And imagine having a hit of cocaine and expecting to be, you know, compos mentis when you're getting through your day. It's not possible. So I think there's a big call for that, and then also like for being aware of that, educating yourself about and looking at other means of of understanding, you know, something that Dr. Shefali says a lot is that, you know, our children are not the easels by which we can live, you know, we can live our lives.
Or work out our shit.
And work out our shit. And our children are there, they're their own individual human beings. And where it's that they're not, I'm trying to figure out a way to say this. When your child is having an issue, the child is having an issue, But when we take it personally and we make it about us and that we can't be good parents, so I'm better medicate my child in order to make me feel like I'm doing a good job, that's where it becomes an issue. So sometimes there's a big call for how are we communicating to these children? What are we expecting? Are we loving the children we have? Or are we wanting children that are this image of a perfect child that we think is going to make us feel good as a parent, right?
Yep.
Love the child you have, not the child you want,
yeah,
is something that I say to people often. There's a child, and that can be very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it can be difficult is because we have this perception of parenting and what our relationship with our kids are going to be like, that we think when that doesn't happen, but the children are there to teach us about ourselves, to help us to heal those parts of ourselves. If we just try and numb that down, we're doing ourselves a disservice as well as our children. So, you know, I see kids having tantrums in the shopping centres, you know, and I see parents who just are there and just allow the child to express themselves, you know, and other parents who are grabbing their children and making them, you know, they're trying to contain it because it's embarrassing to them. And I often wonder how ingrained it is within us that we have to be perfect all the time, so that we're even trying to make our children like fit into this square box of how we think they
At the end of the day, that's just total outward influence. You know, everybody comparing, I want my kid to be this way, I want my kid to be that way, rather than just letting the kid be the kid. You know, we care more about what other people think about us as opposed to what we think about ourselves. And when we care more about what other people think about us as opposed to what we think about ourselves, we're outwardly influenced, so we're inwardly lost.
Yeah.
So, and then we give more esteem to other people's opinions, not realizing that no matter what, your kid is just trying to be a kid. Just let them be a kid. I put this out on I said this about the whole Dexy thing, you know, and one mum came back to me and said, no, that's just bullshit. And it's not bullshit. Look at the history. Do your homework. Look at the history of where it all came from. Look at the time periods of what happened over the history of methamphetamine, then turning, or amphetamines turning to methamphetamines, turning to dexamphetamines. It's an amphetamine.
Mm.
You're giving your child an amphetamine. Rather than perhaps what you need to do is just be a bit more patient, learn how to parent a bit better, watch what they're eating, you know, and just do your best. But I don't agree that drugging your kids is a smart way to go about it at all. It's a short-term solution for a long-term life, you know.
We meet them as they become adults.
Yeah.
And they're,
yeah, I meet them as adults saying, I've got ADD. I've adults come to me and go, I've got ADD. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, what the fuck are you talking about? That just doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
What do you mean you have ADD? You mean you're different to everybody else because you have higher energy, or you find it a bit difficult to focus? Tell me what you're eating. How many coffees do you have today? 6. Oh, that might be a problem. The 6 coffees a day might be a little bit of a problem. What else are you doing? Oh, I drink these high energy drinks. Well, that might be a bit of a problem as well. Does that make sense? People just got to be a bit more smarter. You know, you got to be a bit more intelligent.
Well, I think that, again, I will challenge that in a way as well, because I feel like some people do the best that they know with what they know, right?
Yeah.
But I think you've got to look and you've got to do what you can to step up and educate. This is why, in my opinion, educate yourself is the best solution. Because at that point, once you have all of the information, educate yourself in the whole spectrum of what's going on. At that point, then you can make an informed decision rather than a decision based on a willingness not to want to look or want to want to feel stuff that you don't want to feel. And so it's easier for us to take the easy option of medicating or you know, labeling or whatever it happens to be. Do you know what I mean? And that's why I'm so proud of some of the people that come through with what we do, because so many of them are being challenged by, and some of them have had massive challenges.
Yeah.
But their massive challenges have gone away once they've looked at their stuff, as opposed to once they've medicated their
people children. People want to see the result before they put the work in.
Mm.
They want to, you know, when the child behaves, then I'll believe you.
Yeah.
Then I'll start to implement the stuff. Yeah. But you have to understand what you've been implementing hasn't been working.
Hasn't worked,
so you have to implement something different. You got to do something different if you want it to work. You know? It's got to poke the bear.
I think it might.
Don't really
I
care.
I think it might.
I know, I do care. I do care that it pokes the bear. I mean, I want people to think, Mills. Don't you think?
Well, I agree. I agree. I agree. I will say as well that I do understand that we have just summarized.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
There's a lot to be said about it.
We've summarized it and we've simplified it, but our ultimate point of view on that is what we've said, which is you do have to, you've got to educate yourself, you've got to do your work, be careful of labeling, and definitely.
Fucking never label a kid when they're, never label a kid when they're young. Cool. Never tell a kid he's got ADD. Mm. Why would you fucking do that? Why would you do that? Now you give him an excuse for the rest of his life. Now he'll carry it everywhere. You know, it's just like telling a kid they're stupid. They'll just carry it everywhere and they'll feel they're stupid until they work it out.
Yeah.
You just can't do that.
Yeah.
You know? All right.
All right, let's see. Let's see the feedback then.
TTFN.
TTFN.